All right, everybody is shaking off the frost or frostbite or the effects of the cold weather. My hands are not quite warmed up yet again here. Brr to those of you out there. Welcome to the Thursday, December 18th meeting of the Community Promotions Committee. I'm supposed to call things to order. And we miss Ed, but hope that things are going well for him over in Tennessee, where it's probably cold just like it is here. Speaking of that and Ed, it just did remind me too, and I know that this December actually, it occurred to me, marked the it's just a year. It's the first December. It would have been a year ago that we haven't had our other Ed at this meeting, and I thought about it a bit, and I have a small poem I would like to read. I didn't write it, so don't go running away. This was written by a real poet who knows what they're doing. The famous San Francisco Bay Area poet Kenneth Rexroth, who lived during the 1920s and up through the 50s and the 60s. He pretty much, as things go in the Bay Area, he pretty much saw it all. He wrote this poem 50 years ago in December of 1952 for a colleague of his who had passed away, name of Eli Jacobson. And it's for Eli. But I think it could apply, and given the times we live in now, to Ed as well. So if you'll indulge, 3 or 4 minutes, I will read a poem for Eli Jacobson by Kenneth Rexroth, but in honor of our Ed. There are few of us now. Soon there will be none. We were comrades. Together we believed we would see the world with our own eyes, a new world where man was no longer wolf to man, but men and women were all brothers and lovers together. We will not see it. We will not see it, none of us. It is farther off than we thought. In our young days, we believed that as we grew old and fell out of rank, new recruits, young and with wisdom of youth, would take our place, and they surely would grow old in the golden age. They have not come. They will not come. There are not many of us left now. Once we marched in closed ranks. Today, each of us fights off the enemy, a lonely, isolated guerrilla. All of this has happened before, many times. It does not matter. We were comrades together. Life was good for us. It is good to be brave. Nothing is better. Food tastes better. Wine is more brilliant. Girls are more beautiful. The sky is bluer for the brave. For the brave and happy comrades, and for the lonely, brave, retreating warriors, you had a good life. Even all its sorrows and defeats and disillusionments were good, met with courage and a gay heart. You are gone, and we are that much more alone. We are one fewer. Soon we shall be none. We know now we have failed for a long time, and we do not care. We few will remember as long as we can. Our children may remember. Someday the world will remember, and then they will say, they lived in the days of the good comrades. It must have been wonderful to have been alive then, though it is very beautiful now. We will be remembered, all of us, always, by all men, in the good days now so far away. And if the good days never come, we will not know. We will not care. Our lives were the best. We were the happiest men alive in our day. Anyway, okay. Which is what day of the week?
It's a Sunday this year. At 3:00, they gather with family and friends and have a ceremonial fire at the base of the rock and also at the top of the rock. And this year, I think they may have a children's fire as well, so kids can actually roast marshmallows and do kid things with the fire. So.
Well, that's great. I have been to the summer one, which I'm sure takes a lot less overcoats, but it is quite an interesting experience for those who haven't had that cultural experience. So thank you for pointing that out. Sunday, 3 p.m. at the Morro Rock. Any other public? Oh, well, we have someone approaches the podium. Please, thank you.
Well, I'm Johnny Biagini, and David, thank you very much for those heartfelt words, and I am continually amazed at the recognition that my husband gets. He deserved it, but heck, Thank you very much, and appreciate it. Thank you.
I have a pass this around. I have a copy, if you'd like. We can pass that around. You can pass that to Johnny. Well, thank you, Johnny. All right. Seeing that we have concluded the public comment, we look to the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. We've looked through that. Does anyone have any additions, amendments, questions?
I do.
All righty.
Under the motion approval of the minutes, has Ed wanting to approve and Ed approving, seconding.
He was amazing at meeting.
He gets around a
I
lot.
I think he knew he was going to be away from this meeting, and he was trying to get in as much.
He just wanted to be listed twice. So somebody.
I'm trying to remember exactly the order of how that went.
I think, Bill, I think you seconded it. And then, no? You approved
it? Yes, I did.
Or vice
did.
Versa?
I'll take the,
yes, okay.
I'll take the responsibility.
All right, show that Member Stafford did the seconding. Any other discussion or comment? If not, if there's no discussion, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
By? All right, there we see. Is there a seconding?
I'll second it. No.
Now they're battling.
Right,
okay,
it's all right.
Thank you.
Multiple seconding. So many, it is actually going to a thirding. Okay. Then all in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
All right. Great. We have taken care of that. And this moves now to the, the Visitor Center report. And we have Peter Candela.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'll go through this fairly quickly, so I know that we have some people out here that need to get on our agenda and give a report. So in your folder, we have the visitor's report. Again, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll go through the numbers. November, we had 733 phone calls. Visitors were 1,175. That's actually down a little bit, but you can see it's fairly consistent from last year, and you'll see that all the way through. Tourists, it's promotional mailings, tourist packs, relocation packs. You can see there are 43 in November of 2008. With a total, you can see from fiscal year to Northern California, excuse me, 9, with Southern California is actually the largest area with the number of phone calls coming in at 35. The central area, Bakersfield and Fresno area is 22. And, of course, our coastal is 9. Out of state, a little higher than normal, 17. And they're kind of spread out, actually. And that's...
Hey, I see four calls from...
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Where's Ed going?
Tennessee.
Okay. I thought perhaps he might be making some phone calls.
Yeah, that's Alaska, actually, isn't it? Yeah, Alaska. And that's what I was getting at was, is that a result of my having made that quip about what we needed was Sarah Palin to promote a small town? Remember the last meeting? I made a witty remark about that. I'm just thinking maybe the Alaskans actually heard that.
Yeah, trying to get out of the cold of coming in today, huh?
Hey, this is balmy if you live in Alaska.
Yeah, well, that's true. Actually, we had some people coming in from the East Coast and said, wow, this is great. It's above, you know, it's above zero. That's pretty good. I'm going to go into some of the activities. We're winding down as far as the year goes. I don't know if they can get this or not. This is our New Year's Eve poster. Honestly, we have really pulled the stops out on this one. There is so much going on a New Year's Eve party. I don't know how many New Year's Eve parties that you've been to in the past, but most of them are fairly boring. This one, what do? You sit down and you have some drinks and you talk and, you know, you barely make it into midnight. But In this case, we're going to have a karaoke bar area separate for those who enjoy that. Texas Hold'em, we're going to have that in another room. We have a main ballroom. Will be a band. It's Guy Budd and the Gypsy Souls. We will have Rich Ferguson, who is a they call him a strolling magician. He's an illusionist. If you haven't seen this man, he is absolutely fantastic. Jay Leno had him on his show and a couple other night, national TV stations had him on there as well. He's very well known. It's worth the price of admission just to see this guy. It's truly amazing. And for the parents who have kids, we have a limited amount, but we do have Rent-A-Granny. Now, I met this lady, last week, and when she came in, I says, "Granny," because she's a granny. It's just great, and she'll have four helpers with her, and we probably can accommodate maybe about 15, and they're infant to 8 years old. So for those who want to spend at least a few hours, you can do that. So we'll have something for everyone. And it should be a lot of fun. It's $69 for singles to come in, $99 for couples, pretty reasonable, and $179 with a hotel package, and that includes accommodations for two people and entry into our New Year's Eve. I'm telling you, there's nothing like this anywhere. The closest that I've seen is... somewhere at Madonna, I think, was $450.
Given this extremely good price, this will probably come up later when we talk to John, but is that an attractive price that's being thrown out to the Fresno?
It is. Okay. We have actually mixer hours, yes.
For the not, how far north on, what's the intersection on North Main Street?
41?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a little north of 41 on the right-hand side. Can't miss it.
Okay.
Did a great job. Good-looking building. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Tonight. If you've been on Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street in Morro Bay Boulevard, you'll see that the tree lights are up. There's a couple of them that are flickering, but it's just a matter of going out there and doing it, But it looks good, warm and fuzzy. The city did a great job in timing it right. 4:30 is when they come on. They stay on until the show gets out about 10 o'clock or so. So I always loved the field. They'll be on year-round. Sponsorships, if you want to, we're still needing some sponsorships to cover some of the costs of the trees. $25 will sponsor a tree, and you'll have a little plaque. Put it right there, and you can do that through the chamber office. We have an installation dinner. That is our annual installation dinner. It will be January 24th at Celebellas. Is that right?
Shelbellas.
And that's starts at 5:30 to 6:30 is meet and greet, then 6:30 is the dinner. $65 gets you all that. And there'll be some great entertainment and a lot of fun that night, so you can call the chamber for that as well. We have a new employee. Her name is Danny Tope. She is working part-time for us. She's very enthusiastic, if you don't, Danny. She's been around for a very long time. Very nice lady. Does a great job for us, so come in and say hi to her. She'll be there on Tuesdays. And I think that is it.
Great. Sounds like fun. Now tell me, the New Year's Eve, just because it's cold right now, how much of that is weatherproof? Are all these venues mostly indoors?
Well, we're going to have New Year's indoors.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't be outdoors. It's the community center, and we actually have the whole facility.
I'd like to comment that I thought the Chamber of Commerce did a great job with the boat parade. This is the first time in all the boat parades that I've been to that I've had people come up to me the next day and say what a good parade it was. And a couple people said that they'd be coming back next year. They were from the Valley, and they weren't aware of it, but they just really thought it was a great boat parade. I was there. I thought there were more boats with more lights this year than ever before. I thought the Chamber did a good job.
Thank you, Bill.
But it's also the people that decorate the boat and take the time to do it.
Very enthusiastic this year, and it's funny. I mean, it's like anything that we do. You hope that everyone participates, three or four days before the event. We had 12, and it's barely enough to get started. We ended up with actually 30, and the bottom line ended up being 29. 29 is max. You can't line them all up and make the turn and have more than 29 or 30. So it was absolutely great. Kathy Novak did a wonderful job, as well as the city and the Harbor Department, keeping everybody in line. We did not have one skip. Not one beat was missed. It was perfect. I'm telling you, I was just jazzed because it rarely happens like that.
Well, it was also warm, balmy, and clear, unlike previous boat parades. I think the weather may have influenced a lot of it.
We'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that continues for us. So, and thank you, Bill. That's very nice to say.
Well, great. Thank you, Peter. All right. We will move to the budget report. I don't know if the hotel owners have had it.
Unfortunately, December has been very quiet.
Even though prices have dipped.
Yeah. Like I said, Thanksgiving was good. There was definitely less travelers, but it was still a good weekend. That Saturday after, we did not book up, which was a little, slower than normal. But we came close, which was good, which we kind of don't expect all the time now. But so I think Thanksgiving, unfortunately, I will say, though, November was still down. So we're still on that same pattern that we've seen all year. And I don't see it turning around quite yet. I know December is very, very quiet. This is one of the slowest Decembers we've seen in a very long time. So, but yeah, hopefully. We look good the week after Christmas, that one week. And traditionally you get 2 good weeks, and this year we're seeming to get just kind of one. So we'll see if that holds true for last minute, since we're not there yet. But we're definitely not seeing a big increase yet. The year's kind of staying in the traditional pattern it's been doing all year.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, I see, Andrea, maybe you can, we're back to having a detailed budget inserted in here, which we had once years ago. I don't know if this is being put in specifically because of the contract with TJA coming up to look at the expenses or...
No, the city's gotten some new software, and we've basically been entering all the information, and so I believe that it's something that you're going to be getting on a regular basis.
I kind of was sort of adding up the numbers, and they mostly correspond with John's budget. I was just wondering if it corresponds with John to you, if it corresponds with your budget that you usually print.
Well, I think I'd have to probably look, and I know we have certain codes, but we don't charge a fee for consulting, so I'd have to see where how that 6105, I think that 6105 actually encompasses some of the media, so we'd probably have to relook at that. But I can work with the finance department, just work on the codes and get it done. But, yeah, this is great.
All right. Yeah, it's true. I looked at, I saw one that was periodicals and subscriptions. I'm like, well, we don't. I mean, if they mean placing ads in periodicals.
I think really what's necessary before we delve into this is probably just I'll just sit down with finance, and what we do is we have certain codes, and I just have to make sure that we're matching up with what codes they have are matching up, because those things go back some time. So it would be good to probably have a refresher, especially as we look toward getting into January. We could have those all cleaned up.
And also, I think to parse out some of the things in here, I believe, might be visitor center expenses, too.
Right.
So we're going to kind of have to...
I believe there's 3 different actual budgets there, if you're going through. There's one for the visitor center. There's one for, let's see.
And there's website development, which is a budget.
Visitor center, yeah. So there's 3 different.
Yeah. So remember the... old days when half the meeting was about going through all those numbers and trying to figure out what was there. Yeah, website is the last one, and those are the 3 areas. If you remember the old days, how much time was spent going through that detailed budget. So thankfully, once John coordinates it with them, we'll go back to the streamlined budget procedure. And speaking of that, as long as we're on time to count the numbers, and then maybe we should move, if anyone doesn't have a further comment on that, to John's advertising agency report, which will give us those numbers.
I'd start with the website, and if they could put that up for me. The man behind the curtain. The lady behind the curtain. Thank you. Just to give you the report, as you can see that we had close to 400 people sign up for the email newsletter, as well as adding additional members that we've talked about this in a couple of meetings past now, that we're starting to take the people who have sent an email in response for information. We're incorporating them onto our email list. So we have close to 6,000 people on our database now that we send out our e-newsletters to. And so for this month, we had a total user sessions of 26,000. total page views of 112,000. We had 15 people sign up for the newsletter. And we continue to have a really long period of time that people spend on the website, which is significant, over almost 8 minutes that they're spending on the website, which is a good statistic. The homepage continues to be the number one. The third is the Plan a Trip, which is a fairly new service that we have on the website. It's only been there for a few months. So that's obviously showing some success. And fourth, which was interesting, a lot of people are going now to our photo page, which is, again, another fairly new feature, and looking at the library of photos we have. And if you go to the website, you'll see where we've added now on the photo contest page, we have the two winners listed, and we've given them their prizes. So that's coming along really well. We're getting more and more people responding to that.
How did the winners take to them winning? Were they pretty happy about it?
Oh, yeah, they were really excited about it. And I think that it's going to be just a really nice feature. And I think once we get our video, home movie kind of thing going, I think that's going to be another good interactive thing.
Are
with
ready
the.
Ready to move to the website from?
Pardon me? Yeah, Nancy, if you wouldn't mind, maybe you could pull up its photo gallery.
Okay.
Off to the left there. So this is basically, as everyone's familiar, this is our gallery contest. And then if you go to... I'm always trying to remember how to get to this. Click on here to submit your photo. So people can, and basically what happens, just for the people in our audience, if they're not familiar with it, people will send their photos. Our agency gets the photos, make sure they're appropriate, and then we post them. We haven't had any inappropriate as yet. We post them on the website, the person's name, and then people will give us a little brief description of the photograph they took, what conditions they were, possibly what type of equipment that they used. And then if you go to the gallery, Bill, you can help me out here. How do we get to the, where the?
Yeah, now we're back.
Is there a way to have them just go?
Why don't you go to the,
scroll
down a little bit. Maybe go to the next page. These are all the ones that we have right now. So you can see their title. If you go back to the main, click on, there we go. This shows you the photo contest winners. And the first one there is a pretty dramatic photo. That was their first one. And then we also mentioned the people that are donating the prizes. Michelle's been generous enough to donate an overnight stay. We also have Tagasini's. So anyway, this is what we've talked about with the website, just a continued social media interaction with the visitor and what our next plan is. And we're pretty close to that within, I would say, by next meeting, we'll have our full video YouTube page up. And this will be a feature where it'll look very similar to YouTube, where people will be able to submit their own videos and they'll talk about how they shot the videos, what they were doing. It's sort of like sharing their home movies. And again, those will come to the agency first to make sure that they're appropriate. And then we post them. And then we talk about the people, and then we'll be giving prizes for those as well. And as we get those videos, we're going to we'll also submit those to YouTube. So those will also be on YouTube automatically as well, which is there's no cost to do that. And also on TripAdvisor, on our homepage with TripAdvisor, where we have currently have our DVD and various other, the one that the mayor did, those are all on TripAdvisor that you've seen before. So if you could go back to the overhead. If you could go, Nancy, to the third page. And again, this is a statistic that I think is really telling, where we see over 65% came in through no referral, which basically means they typed in moralbay.org. So 65%, over half, more than, well over half of the people who come to the website know to type in our URL, which is encouraging because the only way they would know that is through the advertising.
Is there any way the stats compiler, by looking at the, what do they call that, your address, your the thing that's number, 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 dot, number, there's a name for that. They call that your, what do they call that? The, not, it's not a URL. ISP or whatever, address, how many of them are people who've, like, it's like a year now, 2 years now, that, like, we're getting repeat people as opposed to new people? Is there a way to?
I could check into that. I know that there is some tracking that you can do as far as, you know, who they're coming, where they're coming from. I can look into that.
And I'm just wondering if the high number is just, we have, like, developed loyal, in other words,
oh, I'm sure that a great, there's loyal. Many, we want those people, of course, to keep coming back, too, and that's one reason why we tend to try to have the site be pretty fluid where there's new pictures, there's new things going on because we want those people to come back. And that's certainly true. A lot of those people who would know to type in that website, but at some point they had to learn
right
how to do it. So, but yeah, there's, I'm sure there's quite a few repeat people probably checking the weather and doing things like that as well. And Nancy, if you could go to the next one, please. Yeah. This is our email newsletter. This is going to be going out in the next couple of days. This goes to our database of over 6,000. As you can see, the two main events that we're going to be promoting is the wonderful New Year's Eve party that promises not to be boring, and also our Winter Bird Festival. So this will be going out to solicit both of those events to our loyal 6,000 database people. And again, very, very nominal cost to do this. We already have our list. Green Festival. And basically what we did at the Green Fest, as you guys know, we talked about this, is it was our new councilman's idea, Noah, to actually bring some fruit to our booth that is locally grown here in Morro Bay. And we had pineapple guava, horned melon, which tastes just like it sounds. And we also had passion fruit. And so this really was a great hit, and we really thought we were going to bring like three pieces of fruit to show them what grows here, and what, and Noah gave us like cases of fruit. Yeah. So aside from getting them into the show, it was really great, and it really was appropriate for that type of theme for the Green Fest. So what we did is we created this, the agency created a logo to kind of go along with our locally grown produce. And I think this is something, of course, it's reminiscent of kind of the 30s exactly. look of the orange crates, which is sort of nostalgic. And I think we can use this, again, for more as we branch out and do more branding of Morro Bay, especially if it's appropriate for the type of publications. This would certainly be great for the Avocado Margarita Festival and kind of start branding some of our local vegetation and local produce.
I would love to see that as a T-shirt. Every mother in town would buy it. You know, I just think it's fabulous. It's a great design. And maybe on shopping bags for another mm-hmm. go-round,
right.
you know, could be at all the local
It'd be,
farmers' markets.
It would certainly be great farmers for farmers' market, market mm-hmm. too, I think.
As a, beautiful. As, it's beautiful.
Good. Thank you. And then the last one, please. This is an ad for, you heard that Travel 50 and Beyond has performed really well for us. I think
yes.
we had close to over a couple thousand responses. This is a Travel 50 and Beyond ad that will be going in next month. And basically enjoy the view. And we're talking about Discover Your Better Nature, the branding that we do. It's a very small ad that goes. But as you can see, we've been getting pretty good response just with these smaller ads. And if you could go to the next one. And this is an ad for Sierra Magazine. And this would be great as a full page, and you'd probably say, well, gosh, why didn't you put more copy in? If you go to the next one, the final one, that's how big the ad is. So that's why. Looks really good. It's an 8.5 by 11 image. But this has been great for us, and this goes back into the visitors column. It's very expensive to run in Sierra because it's, again, one of the close to a national publication. It's regional.
Is that an eighth of a page or one column wide?
It's one column by 2-inch ad, basically. But it's, and that ad itself costs a couple $1,000s. But again, what we're trying to do here and what we've and this is one reason why, as Peter described in his analysis of the responses, we're getting less and less 800 numbers, and that's actually a good thing as long as our website hits continue to climb, and they have been every year, because we're really encouraging people, teasing them to go to the website. And then when they go to the website, hopefully that's where they get fulfilled and they can book their trip and they learn more about Morro Bay and why they should come here. So this is an example of a really small-spaced ad in a larger circulated magazine that, again, Sierra's been doing really well for us, because that's our group.
It's simple, and its simplicity says to you, wow, what's up with this? I see a rock and some people in a kayak, and it's easy enough just to...
Well, and I hope there, so that's worked well with the other side of the extension. So that was my report.
Well, thank you very much, John, and we'll get back to the button that comes up in the next subsection.
Great.
Public Relations Subcommittee report. To my knowledge, the Public Relations Subcommittee did not meet last month, so we have nothing to report. The Website Committee, we turn to...
The Website Subcommittee had a meeting, and we discussed the website. We had a question for Peter about the live webcam. Is that ever going to go back to being controlled by the viewer?
It is, and AGP is putting that together now. The problem that we had before, and the reason why it went down, was the fact that we had so many users coming in at one time, it literally crashed the system. So AGP is designing something special for it to handle as a massive amount. So we've already put a separate feed into the visitor center just for that, and it should be, and I'll find out, I can find out a little bit more today about when that's going to happen, but it will happen.
We also wondered if putting, like on the TV now, it says live, if maybe we should put live up there, because I've been looking at other webcams, and a lot of them have the word live, and they have a date and a time on them, so that everybody knows that picture is live.
It could be an easy thing to do. I don't see any difficulty with that.
Okay. That's we had on that. And we talked about the photo gallery, and I'm glad to see that we got the winners up and posted and everything. The email postcard, and we've kind of beat this to death about the possibility of having Morro Bay or some salutations put on there. And, if it's possible, we'd like to discuss it further. If it's not possible, then we'll just drop it.
Okay.
And then we had talked a few meetings ago about the lack of facility rentals being listed on the webpage. And I have a list ready to go, but we were wondering where to put that on the webpage, whether to put it in the plan and event, or whether to put it as a separate heading on the left-hand side on the homepage. And so we were kind of up in the air as to where to do that. If it goes on plan and event, then the chamber takes care of it. If we keep it on the homepage, so it doesn't. But I think it's something that needs to be someplace on our website to indicate that we have some facilities for rental.
I think plan an event would be good. I think we have to be careful not to get too much on the homepage itself.
But it could be another drop down on
right.
plan.
Sure.
All right. Should I send that information to Peter or to who?
You can send it to both of us, and we can both work together on getting it.
Yeah, John and I work well together with that stuff, and we can get it done.
And then we discussed special packages or motel packages, and we were and going through the websites that all the motels have, a few of them have a listing for packages, and they have packages. And where has that progressed?
I'm not saying that we don't make money right now as far as what we're offering, but people are looking for an opportunity to save money. So I think if we can, and maybe with John being here, he can help us on this, is we just need to get more packages and on the website that would reflect midweek travel as well as even some weekend discounts.
Is that something that was going to be added as a drop-down on the lodging and dining page?
What I would like to do is actually have a tile right on the home page that would say, click here for special packages and discounts. And then you click on that, and then you would go to a whole separate page of those packages, irrespective of the individual hotel packages that, that you'd go to by hotel. So it'd almost be a whole separate component of the website.
But that would be something we would have to maintain.
Right.
Somebody would have to keep track of the packages, keep them up to date, and maintain them.
Right.
Is there any way that we could go link into the hotels that have a package, you know, an icon that says package, and link into that so that the hotels update it themselves instead of somebody keeping them updated, or what?
Well, we've tried to do that, and actually, you know, when we first did the website, we were going to, it sounded good that we were going to let everybody go in and manipulate it and change their listing. And then everybody, some people figured out how to make their listing in all bold or red or, you know, it didn't work. Within 48 hours, we took that away and we decided that it'd be better for us to keep maintaining that for them. And basically, people still can go in and make some changes, but it's been sort of restrictive. But the idea behind it would be, I think, twofold. One is that the hotels would go back and update those packages that they have, because some of those, I think, go back some time, and then have a special section where right now that this would be where you'd click on these, and these would change. You know, so people felt like if they're going to go, that there would be a brand new package maybe once a month.
The change would have to be done by you or the chamber.
Right.
Yeah, so that,
and Bill, we would like to have a more active role in that with our members and work out something like that with the hoteliers, and maybe even have
the thing I noticed is some of the hoteliers have a package, but they have an expiration date of March.
That's what I mean. When we have a timeline
on their own website,
We were thinking of a timeline of packages and what they are,
and then participating. On our website, there's a site map, and on the site map, it lists packages. It lists four different packages.
They're really outdated.
But the packages, one of them is from the Ascot Inn. And they haven't been around for a year. So that, to me, that whole package in the site map needs to be taken care of.
I think that from my experience working with Elements on our business website, the site map includes everything that has been, that is currently available to be displayed on the website anywhere. So it's not necessarily intended for people like the average website visitor to actually go to to sitemap.
Well, that's
and look through that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, if it is there and people are looking through it, we might think about. John, those are just pages that need to be deleted,
right.
And then they won't have access to even view them. With the Peter, would it be possible with the hotels that are currently listed on there that if they-
we look for one price hotel travel everything if you can get it all locked in there, I'd love to see a timeline. And because obviously there's some months of the year that you can't be as aggressive with packages as you can on other points. So if you kind of find out what the packages are, and there's all kinds of things. I know that golf packages have been available and active packages, hiking packages.
I think if we could just list the hotels that have the package, and then you could go to their website. And that way, it would be up to them to keep it up current.
Sure.
If as long as we knew that the hotel had a package, and there are special.
There is a way to do that right now because we, with Elements, and the database change we made about a year ago, that when you go and you search hotels, we could add in there hotels with packages. And then all those hotels, if you clicked on that, all those hotels would come up with listed. The problem is that it's important to keep them current. Because people, if the worst thing you can do is, and we've talked about this, and there's been times maybe we've slipped a day or two where an event doesn't get pulled off. It's the same thing with a package. If you go to a package and it says it expires in September or October, then all your credibility is gone because people feel like, well, then, there's no packages. And for to really have good packages, I mean, I would hope that it wouldn't just be a great deal on a hotel, that we'd package in dinner and we would package in an activity and have a real package where people would be able to come. And it's proven that people want to buy those because when we added this shopping cart where you could plan your itinerary, well, that always rates as one of the top places where people go, because they're basically planning their trip. They're taking an event or, excuse me, an activity, a hotel, and a restaurant, and they're putting their own package together. It's not discounted, but they're putting it together as an itinerary item.
Well, it appears that there are two things on the web, on the hotel's web pages. There's specials, which is primarily a price deal, and
right.
then packages where they package something together.
Right.
But to me, this is something we need on our web pages, is a package somewhere, but I don't know if we, meeting the chamber and everybody here, gets involved with trying to keep it updated. I question if how successful it will be. Whereas if we put the updating back on the motel owner to keep it updated, keep their packages updated and make the changes, then all we have to do is get the hotels that have packages to pop up under packages, and then somebody goes to those packages or so. I mean, I'm just trying to think of some way of keeping somebody from having to call all the hotels every month making those changes.
Well, I think that would be good, and I think maybe if there's greater attention brought to the packages, maybe the hotels would be more inclined to update them. I hate to spend, honestly, a great deal of emphasis to get people to go there if the packages are not going to be
up to date. No, I agree. Yeah. To me, if we're not going to be able to keep the packages upgraded, updated, and everything, then we shouldn't even have it.
You know, I just want to comment one thing, too, from the hotel standpoint. I don't think the hotels are aware that this is anything that's being done. So, and then I bet we would get more response. Because I think that's part of the problem with no response.
Because what we could do in the chambers, we can attach to whatever package, a meal or an activity or something like that. If, you know, if we have a certain date, a room, and a special price, then we can attach something like that to that package. There's multiple ways of doing this. It's just a matter of organizing which way we want to go and doing it, because I think it's a great idea to have a package page and then certainly go to their website, the hotelier's website, if they can get back to our website and research again.
Well, that was one thing I brought up to Bill, is if we put on the homepage here, these are all the links to the hotel, you might lose a lot of those people. You know, they're going to go to that hotel and they may never come back to the Morro Bay site. So I know there's a link issue sometimes there too, but I don't know if we care about that or not. I mean, that's just something to bring up.
Well, I think that it's a good idea to do some sort of a letter. You know, frankly, I don't know who the owners of the hotels are. I wouldn't know where to begin to send
right.
out to the.
I'm sure the chamber has a list.
So I think, Peter, what we should do is maybe you and I could get together, craft a letter, talk about, you know, this is an opportunity, you know, and during these challenging times, this is what we're going to be doing on the website, and give them a deadline of when they need to submit their package, and then we can just work together on, you know, the easy part
is
getting it on the website. We just have to have the material.
Right.
And Bill, certainly, it would be, I would love to have Bill involved in that committee.
I know. Are we making this an official activity
of
the website
subcommittee? I have nothing but time now.
Now the hotel package subcommittee?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could do this fairly easily.
Well, I think Bill is a member of the website subcommittee could help us. You know, Peter really has the ability to get the word out. I have the ability to get it technically on the site, and then maybe Bill can I can work with Bill on as part of the website subcommittee of getting it on the site in the proper way that everybody wants.
Yeah, I'd love to be part of it and love to get it started as soon as we can.
All right. Sounds good.
And if attaching Michelle's name to it on the letter gets hotel owners motivated, that's...
Doubt it.
Oh, okay. That's better if it comes from one of their own. It seems like it's being imposed on them from the outside.
Well, and then if they don't participate, then, you know, because right now we feel like we're getting no response and we're frustrated, but in fairness, I don't think they know about it. So that's why this is an attempt, and if they don't do it, then they you snooze, you lose. So
I think it's a little bit of both.
Right.
I think we still won't have a huge amount of response, but it'll be better than what
Even
we have
we
right
five.
Now.
There are only five
one.
Hotels that have packages listed on their web, you know, on the websites. I've been to every one of their websites, and it's only five with packages.
Well, and one thing I want to point out too, we don't have packages on our website, but what we put together one for John, which we're going to put some others, and now we might put them on our website, but this was something we were kind of doing special to see the response. Give it a little trial, and maybe some other hotel owners might not have it on. And that was why when Bill said, we'll go to the website, I'm like, oh, shoot, then I'd have to get it on my website because we don't have it on there now. So I think it's just a matter of getting that process figured out and then going forward with it. I think you know, you'll probably get like 5 or 6 responses. You'll get the same ones that always, you know, participate. But that's better than just the 1 or 2.
Yeah, and it wouldn't matter. It's a great start, and when you see the success of it, you know, it'll just snowball.
Yeah, if we could end up with all the hotels with packages, which might be too many, but if it looks like it's successful, I'm sure that other hotels will join.
Well, it enhances what we're promoting, too. I mean, when we're promoting hiking.
Oh, gee, I can get a deal. I mean, it's a no-brainer to most of us, but it's kind of like when you see sale, you think, okay, I've got to go check it out. And just having a thing, you know, Morro Bay, check out the off-season rates.
I think
there's no listing on our webpage that says that. Each hotel has a webpage that they'll have specials, or they have their prices, they'll have their rates. Some of them even break it down certain months, you know, what the rate is in winter months, summer months, spring, Christmas, whatever. But as far as having something on our webpage, there's nothing that says look for a special at these places. You know, it's kind of like the package. We don't have, right at the present time, anything that says look for a package.
So what do we... Okay, well, I guess that concludes. Is there an action item to follow up on, perhaps not officially in an agenda?
I think it's going to work with Peter and Bill to try to get the awareness out at least.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, and I do think the package, I didn't realize that hiking was as big an activity as Peter says. I would say I would package that then with a foot massage, I guess, right? A hiking foot
massage.
We
have hiking maps at the Chamber Visitor Center. That's one of the biggest requests that we get.
That's
people
right.
Coming and saying, where can we hike?
Which would logically follow that the foot massage would then be the counterpoint.
The big problem is keeping the maps, the hiking trail map and thing.
Yeah, they go very fast.
Maybe something to keep in mind for future ads targeting publications like Outdoor or Sierra, that we show a lot of boats and water stuff, but maybe the bluffs with footprints on the beach look might be something to think about. Well, speaking of visual images, having concluded the website subcommittee, let's go back to our graphic image of the button, which I guess will be coming up. But anyway, back to the button campaign. Yeah, this was just an idea to create something new. I know that... We had a button coming up here. Obviously, we'd had our original button that had carried what some people felt was baggage, messages, things like that. So the idea was how to come up with something publicity-oriented but more generic. And this is an outgrowth of a prototype. Actually, the sand dollar showed up somewhere else in your advertising, but
right,
it just leapt to mind. Hey, it's round, and it looks like jewelry. Probably would have been a big seller or hit at the Green Festival, I'm thinking, for that
yeah.
crowd. Well, I don't know. What do people have to think about? A summer's coming, spring and summer, as a campaign, either as a merchant to sell them or as a promotional.
Well, it certainly
item.
Fits in with summer, and I'm glad to see that Morro Bay is in bigger, bolder letters now.
It's got our trademarked slogan.
Well, I guess what I basically need is we don't have a budget for this. So, how many do we want to make? What are we going to use them for? You know, we're at the stage where we have the design done now. So, before we print, you know, 4,000 of these, what are we going to do with them?
Yeah, we need to have a marketing plan. Who's going to sell them? We
have to wait till.
How are we going to market these things?
Wait till Peter, who had to step out.
I mean,
for
I think
moment.
They would be really. They would certainly be sawn up. That's probably what you're looking at. Maybe a little cheaper than that.
I wonder if you could get a commitment from merchants to purchase 100 or 250, something like that. Again, I could see that as the kind of thing where, you know, you spend $50 or more, you get a button. You spend $100 or more, you get a bag. I'd love to add something else into that little promotional mix. And you could just have them for sale. You know, you could give them away to the kids, and the moms and dads love that kind of. But maybe if you did get a commitment from some of the merchants, we're going to do this. How many would you like?
Also, I was wondering if it's being flat, if just like you have a DVD and the kit you send out to our media, a button or two could be clipped into the promotional kit that goes
yeah.
out as well. Peter, in case you...
We just wanted to find out how many of these do you want and how much are you going to pay for them?
Button. Who's got the button?
Well, I'm sure that the promotions would love to pay for them, right?
Well, I'm trying to recall, and I don't know, Andrea, if it's in the minutes. When we did the first button, I think we did, we paid $100 or $2 to have the first batch of those buttons made up.
Well, I ordered them. And if we ordered 500, I think they came out to 50 cents a piece. So it really wasn't that... It wasn't that expensive.
So it was like $250.
Yeah,
essentially.
With the shipping and things, it's a little more than that. But
and how many?
Not bad.
You ordered
500. We ordered that twice, though, didn't you?
We did.
Yes.
We did.
So we ordered 1,000, and you had 40 some left to take to the show.
That's right, and they went fast.
So we got rid of them.
Well, how about this? Just so we move forward. Why don't you do 1,000, have the promotions committee pay half, and have the chamber pay half, and
divide
them up equally to that. The promotions committee could, they could be used again for the press. I think that would be good. It's a little item to have in the press kits. We don't send a vial of sand like we used to because after the it's kind of a terrorism thing. And, Time Magazine doesn't really want to get a vial of sand in their box. So a button might be a good replacement for that. And then I think, again, for trade shows, they were great. I mean, we only had a few of the I Love Tourist buttons, and those things, every time we put them out on the table, they were gone. And it is a really low-cost form of advertising. If somebody wears these, it's got our website
Plus,
on it.
Plus, I think so. They're really – it's a case where the simplicity of the design just matches the slogan. I mean, I don't know that there are many people who – at least live on coastal communities who would be unfamiliar with what they're... The other thing I would want to make sure of, and I know we're in a room that's very brightly lit, John, so it's hard to see, but I imagine the contrast between the shadowy silhouettes of the actual sand dollar face and the button would show up. When it gets printed, it won't turn out to be too light that you can't tell it's a sand dollar. It's possible if the lights were off here, it would look, more realistic.
Right.
But just to have your art director take a look and make sure that when it reproduces the actual sand dollar profile.
How many were you going to order?
1,000.
A magnet.
And
refrigerator magnet. Ooh. There's a lot of things this could turn out to be design-wise. A refrigerator magnet.
They could be used for fundraisers, the schools, that type of thing, too.
Well, no, actually, this was my design. My original design was a rock, and it said, don't skip our rock.
Okay, well, I missed that meeting. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's...
That's quite right. Yeah, it's
that was the first one I presented.
But part of it, too, is people already know about the rock. And if we say that the hiking is turning out to be our principal request, certainly when you hike along the beach here, what does everyone attempt to do? Find an intact sand dollar to take home. Now, we know those who've done this. Unless it's a certain time of tide and season, the chance of finding an intact rock, sand dollar to take home that isn't chipped or broken is difficult. So this guarantees you go home with...
Frankly, I think it really doesn't matter. I think that this is a nice, creative little thing to do at a trade show. I think eventually you could have the rock as a button. I think you just change every year. This is a small little aspect of the whole picture.
Well, if we'd like to, then should we have a motion to approve splitting, as Peter will say, splitting the cost of 1,000 run of 1,000 buttons with the the chamber and the promotions committee will split the cost of producing 1,000 sand dollar buttons for our promotional campaign. An estimated time frame, John, on just so we have an idea of how long to get into production.
I think it was about 3 weeks for them to make them.
The turnaround was very fast.
So quite possibly the next meeting we could actually have them to wear and show mm-hmm. folks to start the new year.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so the motion would be, I'll make a motion that we agree to split the cost of 1,000 promotional buttons with the Chamber of Commerce and then place the delivery and execution with John Sorgenfrei.
I have a question. If we did want to purchase the buttons in any sort of quantity for our businesses, would we go through the promotions committee or the chamber to buy them?
Chamber. I think with the promotions committee's involvement is just to kickstart the process, and then the chamber would be the follow-up. So we have a motion standing. We need seconding of the motion.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? All right, then. The motion is to split the cost of 1,000 sand dollar buttons. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And, John, okay. You'll take care of all the technical specs and making sure it prints nicely and comes out like that. And great. And it has, I think this would that be, this would be our first piece of material that officially then has our trademark on it, right? So we're trademarked. Wear this with pride. All right. Having done the button campaign, we now come, we have one new business thing, which I think is relatively quick, and then we have the presentation by our guests. Discussion of making concept of, proposed concept of making Discover Your Better Nature the theme of the Kite Festival Parade. Joyce, you seem to take the lead on this. Explain to us.
Okay. Well, just a brief background. In the last couple of years, there has been a committee that's put on the Celebrate Morro Bay Parade. A couple of years ago, they joined with the Kite Festival, and it's a terrific kickoff to the Kite Festival. But we wanted to have a theme, and we have a new committee. It consists of Bill Stafford, Susan, myself, Melody DeMeritt, Steve Sweem from the other committee, so and, of course, mentored by the chamber because it's now under the auspices of the chamber. So Peter and Rick Carr are helping us with this. We had a first meeting, and one of the things that we decided we wanted to give it a theme, of course, every year because it helps the people building their floats or if they want to have a costume, so forth. But also,
I have a note to myself to check on where the status of the trademark is. So I can't answer that question. I'm happy to come back at a following meeting for you, though.
I guess morally, you know, I mean, ethically, do any of us have John?
Well, I think anytime you can have somebody promote your branding message, it's in your benefit. So I would say let them do it.
Okay.
All right. I would make a motion that we approve it. Just pending someone telling us that we can give it to an agency out or a group outside of the actual trademark.
Well, if it's not yours yet, you could certainly give it to them, and I will come back to you and let you know whether or not it's yours yet.
Okay. So I would make a motion that we approve of the Kite Festival Parade adopting Discover Your Better Nature as their slogan for the spring event.
Second.
There we go. Okay. We have a little parliamentary procedure. Any further discussion? All in favor of allowing the Kite Festival to use a Discover Your Better Nature theme? Aye.
Aye.
There we go. I can see a lot of people dressed like egrets and cranes and sort of. It's all the people who have those leftover bird costumes from the Mardi Gras Festival that they can't
however
use
you want to dress in the parade is all right with us.
Well, remember, discover your better nature. Some people might take that to be sort of a nudist message, so we have to be careful about birthday suits.
We have someone
again, however you want to dress.
Yeah. We have to make sure it gets into the appropriate photo part of the website. All right, this brings us to new business item B, discussion of a citywide business district. We have guest presenters here today with a multi-phased, multimedia presentation. And we start, obviously, with John Solu. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is John Solu. I'm a resident of Morro Bay as well as a motel owner in Morro Bay. And this morning I'm here with Johnny Biagini and my other half, Joan Solu, to give you a presentation. But before I start that, I wanted to let Peter Candela know that there are other parties that you can go to that have that you can stay up all night in New Year's Eve. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that. There are other fun parties. With that, I also wanted to thank John Sorgenfrey, who's really helped us put a presentation together for you guys. And my role in this thing, rather than have you guys throw shoes at me like you did the last meeting, is to let Johnny and Joan show come up and tell you guys about the city of Morro Bay. And I'm going to come back afterwards and give you guys a little bit of an update about what's going on with the County Business Improvement District. But one thing that I want you to keep in mind, you know, with all the economy, bad news issues that are coming up with the auto industry and so forth. I just received an email. I subscribe to a national email that talks about hospitality and tourism. And you're going to probably hear a lot more about deflation. And they're predicting the hotel, motel, restaurants, tourism industry to potentially have a 30 to 35% deflation in 2009. So that's a prediction that's being made. So just kind of keep that in mind. So there's another pressure coming on board now for tourism industry. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Johnny, and she's going to start giving you a presentation over their slide presentation. Thank you.
And it's called a business improvement district. And that's my cue. First of all, the obvious question is, why does Morro Bay need to increase tourism promotion funding? Well, you know, you work with this all the time, but first of all, in order to launch a very competitive marketing plan, you need more money. Currently, Morro Bay's funding for tourism promotion is $130,000. You're being outspent by other county destinations right here in the county by 5-1, and if you look at San Luis or the whole Central Coast, you're being outspent by 10-1. That's annihilation in some people's words. And the city of Morro Bay is in deep financial distress, so that the possibilities of increasing your funding is very remote. And in order to remain consistent and have the branding message be heard by as many people as possible, you need more money to do that. So let's just look at the current funding of different destinations that Morro Bay competes with. Morro Bay at the top, this is just for media buying. This has nothing to do with the rest of the marketing plan. This is just media buying. Morro Bay at $110,000 approximately. Look at how everybody else is being funded at their current levels. Pismo Beach has about a $250,000 media budget. City of San Luis, about $300,000, on and on. Paso Robles, $400,000, $450,000 just on media. The county, $500,000 on media. So on and on, with Monterey up at $1.4 million. Then when you add business improvement district effect to the budgets, again, Morro Bay's budget is being annihilated. It is difficult to, at best, with $130,000, to generate awareness of Morro Bay as a tourism destination. When you compete with others that have an arsenal this big, Morro Bay's voice, it's very hard to hear.
Quick, if I might, just a quick question. The revenues, the expense that these other cities and counties are spending on theirs, ours is derived mostly from TOT, and then we in turn, right, that's the city's thing. On these other cities, is TOT also the generator principally or not of that revenue that they spend?
When you look at the file that says current budgets, yes, TOT. Some of the bureaus have membership as well, but TOT is the main generator of all visitor bureau funds.
Okay.
Until you get into the business improvement district, and that's why bureaus are undertaking that method of funding so that they don't have to rely on the TOT as much.
Got it. Thank you.
And here's Joan.
I'd just like to point out, good morning, first of all, Joan Solu. I'd just like to point out on this slide, you'll see Santa Barbara is below Paso Robles. That is because they have just approved a business improvement district, and that business improvement district is estimated, soft estimates are to pour $1.7 to $2 million into their marketing
budget.
That's
in Santa Barbara.
That's in Santa Barbara, just so you know. So that would put them way back up at the top of the field. And they're one of our nearest neighbors and one of our strongest competitors, because we have to get the people to drive through Los Angeles, through themselves or their businesses, a certain percentage. It would be poured into a fund, and then that money would be used to promote hotels and motels and events in Morro Bay. It allows a group of businesses, a BID allows a group of businesses to form in the tourism industry to accomplish what we cannot do individually. So let me say this to you. When the American dollar was at its all-time peak, France looked east at America, England looked east at America, or rather west, excuse me, they didn't look all the way around the world, they looked west at America. Germany looked west at us and said, look at America. They are so strong, they are so powerful. We need to do something. Let's band together. Those nations band together and formed the Eurobuck. And if you travel anywhere, anywhere now, the first question they ask you when you go to buy something is Euro. It's no longer dollar, American dollar. They ask you for Euro. So that is what we as hoteliers are trying to do. We are trying to band together and strengthen our effort to promote this city. We're trying to do what the Europeans did when they formed the Eurodollar. So we are looking to promote leisure travel, business travel, and film business up into this area. We'd like to look at some of our niche marketing for seniors and bird watchers and kayakers and get some more surfing events and open up to new markets and expand into old markets that we've had to regress out of because our marketing dollars have shrunk. Morro Bay BID and the Promotions Committee. Some of you are probably asking, well, where do we sit in this? How could we work together, or what would happen to the Promotions Committee? Does the Morro Bay BID replace the Promotions Committee? No, it does not. Don't throw any shoes at my husband now. The Promotions Committee must function exactly how it has in the past for at least a full year so that the Morro Bay BID can start collecting funds. We have to go through a collection process, get those funds up and running, and start our own effort. So there will be some working together and some overlap in that beginning. You need to continually be funded. We believe that you should be supported and that you should go for your current support levels. And we would like to also support you in that effort because we see you as a valuable entity to continually promote. And then if you had your current support levels and you were promoting the restaurant and retail outlets, you would have an even stronger effort to do that. After this time, the Promotions Committee will continue to function as it has in the past, working in cooperation with the MBBID to promote the different branding and to represent the entities beyond the lodging. And how long is the process and how long does it last? That is a commonly asked question. We would like to fast track this process. The Morro Bay BID, we believe, if we put it on a fast track, could be standing on its own and begin to collect funds in our critical high season starting this summer. If we don't start collecting those funds in the summer when we have that critical high season, and I know Michelle...
Together and, you know...
Say no.
They say no, then it won't go through.
That's correct.
Okay, and is there a certain percentage that you have to get to say yes in order for
51%.
It to pass? 51, okay.
No. A majority.
Oh, to say no.
Well, to get it started, we need... it would have to be a majority to say no.
Okay.
Right.
Great.
Okay, so here is a timeline or a sequence of events that we need to go through. So starting today is not up here, but I'm standing before you today. we would be needing to get on the city council meeting for January 26th to present a BID concept to them, similar to what we're doing here for you today. We would look to a resolution of intention to form and ordering notice of public hearing to be mailed in February. Then again, about the middle of February, we would mail a notice of a public meeting and a public hearing, allowing anybody to come forward and speak. The public meeting would take place in early March, and then a public hearing and an introduction or a first reading of the ordinance would take place in April, the second reading and adoption in late April. The ordinance would take effect on May 27th. And we would, 30 days after adoption by the City Council, and then tourism assessment and collection efforts would begin. The motels would begin assessing on their folios or begin assessing themselves, absorbing the cost and passing it along in beginning June 1st. And then the city would receive the first assessment funds, and I believe it's July 31st, 30 days after 30 days after you have to, when you report your TOT is when it would come in. It would be assessed and reported with TOT.
So would the BID have the immediate ability to start spending those funds as soon as they came in?
Well, we have to give the city time to pull it together,
right,
get it back to us. We would have to pay the fee to the city for, you know, overseeing that. And I'm, you know, that's all a little broad right now. It'll be written into the ordinance and then, you know, once we get collected, there'll be obviously some overlap, and then we'll be able to start spending the funds.
And I'm sorry, How our budget is obviously housed by the city, since we're a city committee, the BID would house its own funding. So you would actually get the check and then pay it, or would the city house the funding?
The funding would go to the city. We would have an approved budget. We're an advisory board to the to the city council, but they approve the budget, and then we spend the money within the budget.
Okay. And then there, and like one of the things we've talked about a lot is there's no way that the city could take that money and put it into the general fund.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. So how will the Morro Bay BID work? It would be a 7-person advisory board working under the supervision of the city council, to answer Heather's question. The makeup of the board would consist of 4 members from the hotel industry, i.e. the pay-in people, the stakeholders, the director of the Chamber of Commerce, and 2 members at large from the promotions committee selected by the city council. The 2 seats from the promotions committee are conditioned with the city agreeing to preserve current funding levels for city promotions, and those representatives from your committee would be appointed by the city council. The lodging industry would collect the fees from the guests upon checkout or stay to, number one, substantially increase the general fund revenues of both TOT and local sales tax with additional marketing, advertising, public relations efforts from the Morro Bay BID marketing efforts. To avoid further taxation for city services for our citizens by adding a source of new revenue through increasing overnight stays. We'd like to create a cooperative promotional mechanism where all the stakeholders, Hotels and Restaurants Association, the Chamber of Commerce, the Merchants Associations, and the Promo Committee are working together with our identified tasks, and we would like to avoid duplications of costs and cost overruns by doing that. We'd like to generate greater demand of overnight stays in Morro Bay. I think that's very important for our success. Enhance the promotion of Morro Bay in our bread and butter markets that we already have. And you know exactly where I'm talking about. The Central Valley is a bread and butter market for us. But we'd like to also expand to new markets in Northern California, out in Arizona, and Canada, and the international marketplace. We'd like to expand public relations efforts and the direct sales efforts targeting specific leisure group segments. As you discussed, the seniors, you've got an ad in Sierra. Those are all specific submarkets. And now back to Johnny.
Don't you like this? Just sort of changing it up a little bit. So our strategy is to develop a marketing and media plan that offers immediate results. Wouldn't we all like to see that, immediate results? But also, it's the long-term branding of Morro Bay that is essential to the health of Morro Bay's tourism economy. Typical marketing plan activities. You have undertaken them over the years as well. Advertising, that paid advertising, whether it's print, broadcast, radio, whatever it is. E-marketing, the interactive marketing on the internet, public relations, market research. A very important part of any marketing plan is knowing who your market is and how are you going to go after them and all of those good things. Market research is sorely missed here in Morro Bay. Conference and group sales. We all want that midweek, Sunday through Thursday person to come here. Group sales is going to help us do that. And certainly with the new conference center coming on board, they're going to need support and help in promoting that entity so we get that midweek visitor. Film commission, also key to midweek in many time parts of the year. And then printed materials. You got to have support materials for these things. So let's look at a potential allocation of the $500,000 budget that would be accrued through this assessment of the lodging industry. Potentially, 65% of that $500,000 budget could be used for print advertising or broadcast and or radio. 65% of that $500,000. Wouldn't that be wonderful for Morro Bay to be able to get that word out and stop doing those one column by 2-inch ads? Wouldn't that be wonderful? 10% perhaps on public relations, to actually have a public relations campaign that is substantial and gets more
funding, staffing, such as are you going to hire an advertising agency? Who's actually going to be executing these things?
The good news is that the advisory board will be coming up with that plan. And
okay.
if they determine, I mean, absolutely, the first year, they're going to want to work with, they're not in this position to reinvent the wheel.
Uh-huh.
They want to continue, and as David, I think, said at a meeting, put the promotions program on steroids and give you some muscle to do the things that you've been doing. Mm-hmm. So they're not looking to reinvent the wheel and change things up. They just want to enhance and do that. So the advisory board is going to have to come up with a marketing plan and determine how the funds are going to be allocated, who's doing the advertising, who's doing the group sales and all of those things. So mm-hmm. potentially, yes, I mean, there's going to be allocations to advertising firm or to
right.
a marketing firm.
There's always just that element that who's actually going to do the
right.
work.
Right.
So.
Yeah. We're going to make Peter do it.
That's right.
He'll start taking those steroid shots and he'll be ready anytime.
That's right.
Poor Peter, everybody's looked to you in this meeting today. You keep getting turned back at. Okay, so the Morro Bay BID funding. The funding for our BID is going to come from the assessment on the hotel stays. All the hotels will be participating. Vacation rentals and RV sites and campgrounds will not be assessed, but they may, on a voluntary basis, include themselves if they're so interested. just so you know, that covers one question that comes up pretty commonly. The proposed assessment is 3% going towards the Morro Bay BID and 1% going to the funding for participation in the county BID, which my husband will speak to later.
Okay, that's that question.
Total collections for the year are proposed, estimated to be around $500,000 for the sole promotion of Morro Bay. These funds can only be used for promotions. To answer Heather's question, they cannot go to build another roundabout or to put in street stop signs or anything like that. They have to go directly for promotions of Morro Bay.
The implication being that if it is indeed successful, you fill those hotels so the occupancies are at 90%.
Absolutely.
And that 10%
absolutely.
Would be used to fill the potholes.
That's absolutely correct. And why not just raise TOT? That's a commonly asked question. To raise TOT takes a vote of the citizens of Morro Bay, and it would not be able to take place till 2010. We feel that with Santa Barbara coming on board with almost $2 million, they're going to completely annihilate Morro Bay. I mean, these guys are Monterey, Santa Barbara, even Paso Robles. They'll be, you know, running in a completely different league than we will. We'll be standing on the side of the track watching them run by. So we really feel that we need to jumpstart our economy, get moving now. We don't feel like we can wait till 2010. And due to the present nature of the Morro Bay economy and the long-term low occupancy rates, we have to act now. We don't have a choice. TOT can be used also for any purpose, which means you as a promotions committee would be back to asking the City Council to go from 130,000, 132 approximately, if you throw $500,000 in. We're talking about neighboring cities in our own county. We'd just like to step in a little bit. If we stay there at the 130,000, we're not going to see any economic sustainability here in this city. We believe that we need that 3% just to make and keep Morro Bay sustainable. And now today, we need your support. I'm going to ask you, I'm standing before you to ask you, if you would make a motion and have a vote by the Promotions Committee today to recommend support of a Morro Bay BID to the City Council. We would encourage the BID consideration for the January 26th City Council meeting. If you would, in your motion, so move that you asked them to consider the 26th, we would be able to keep on that fast track plan that I showed you earlier. And we would love to start the process now to make it possible for our 09 summer collections in that peak period. And we are really just asking you for your help and your consideration. And I'm going to step back and let my husband come up, talk to you about the countywide BID effort, and then we'll take all kinds of questions from you later. So because I think he'll be able to give you some questions or answer some questions that you may have. And I just thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
There is one more slide here. Okay, there you go.
Those are nice photos.
Those are nice. Thanks, John.
It's the photo.
I just want to again iterate that John Sorgenfrei was very helpful in putting this together for us. So thank you, John, for doing that. Before I tell you about the county thing, just kind of keep in mind a few things here. This is an assessment on the industry to benefit that industry, number one. There's no cost to the citizens of Morro Bay. It's an assessment that 800 out of the 900 rooms right now currently are supporting this assessment. It's an assessment where it could be an assessment absorbed by that industry, or it could be an assessment that could be passed on to the customer. Our goal is, as one of the stakeholders, is to increase our revenues, in return, increase TOT. In return, increase occupancy, in return, covers in restaurants. Increase covers in restaurants, increase occupancy so they can go into the stores in Morro Bay and spend money, and in return, giving us more sales tax. In addition to that, any collection efforts that the city is making, there's also a reimbursement mechanism for the cost of collecting that money for this district. So really, it's almost a no-brainer. I mean, there's no cost associated to any of the citizens of this city. And it's also a quick return and a quick start. So I just want you guys to keep in mind of that when you guys are talking about this.
And
just
to John, sorry to keep interrupting, but how does hoteliers feel about this? I mean, do you have a feel that the hoteliers are interested in passing this?
We have been meeting probably for about 45 to 60 days now, and probably we have approximately 800 rooms out of the 900 room hotel owners, managers are supporting this program. So we have to the county supervisors, which Morro Bay, Atascadero, Arroyo Grande, and the unincorporated areas were included in forming a business improvement district at that time at 1%. And unfortunately, there was a notification issue, legal issues, and so forth. There were people that were not really they were not for the county-wide business improvement district because we had an issue come up with the vacation rentals, some bed and breakfasts, and so forth. So we went back to the drawing board, put a new committee together, and were able to last Friday come together and come to a consensus through the vacation rental, bed and breakfast, and as well as the hotel motel owners, and basically come up with a language with the business improvement district. So I was happy to see that come together, those personalities come together. But unfortunately, right now, currently, there's a legal issue that we're trying to work through because the unincorporated areas went back and said, we want to go back to doing a 2% assessment. So there's a legal language issue because the city of Morro Bay only approved a 1% assessment to be contributed to the countywide effort. It's twofold here. One, it's good news that unincorporated areas want to go to 2% because they just took the pie that I kept telling you about, that $1 million pie, by another $600,000. So our contribution of approximately $170,000 of that 1% is now going to contribute to a pie of almost $1.5 million. That's what the unincorporated areas wants to do. The bad news is it's due to go in front of Board of Supervisors January 6th. Again, notice of intent is supposed to be read. But unfortunately, because of the unincorporated areas want to go to 2%, and the city of Morro Bay, and I believe the city of Atascadero has an intent passed by the city council at 1%, there's a language legal issue involved here. So we're trying to work that through the county supervisors right now, county council right now. So I should be able to know more by tomorrow if we are going to be on the agenda for January 6th. And it's been a very long struggle to get these personalities finally together. I thought that was going to be the hardest challenge, but now it's becoming the hardest challenge is this legal issue and legal mumbo-jumbo that they have to do.
Can you
hopefully
a BID where some people pay 2% and some people pay 1%, or would this mean that if it's resolved, it comes back and Morro Bay would have to go to 2%?
No, I think we need to stay with 1%. Because
right.
We need to contribute to a bigger umbrella. And the last month, I tried to tell, before I got the shoes thrown at me, that we have the Hilton Corporation as a hotel. In that Hilton Corporation, we have the gift shop, we have the all-purpose restaurant, we have the specialty restaurant, we have the bar. So that's what we're trying to do here. The county is the bigger umbrella advertising agency. And then we have the Pismo Beaches, Morro Bays, Atascaderas, and everybody else doing their own thing with and underneath that umbrella. We still need to give a countywide message, I believe, because the assets of the county, the people come to Morro Bay, usually go to Hertz Castle, people come to Morro Bay. Differences, they could be done within a business improvement district, and so they're checking into that language. That's also true in the city of San Francisco. There's different distances and different areas where you contribute differently to a business improvement district. So that's one thing they're checking into. So that is a possibility.
Who does the advertising for the county?
Right now, the unincorporated, the business improvement district that's being formed for the unincorporated areas, Atascadero, Morro Bay, and Aria Grande, we have no language as to who's the contractor is going to be. But we definitely, our next step after this ordinance is moving forward is to form, we're in the current stages of writing our bylaws for our advisory board, how the advisory board is formed, who's represented, who comes, who goes, what are the terms, and so forth. We're in the process of doing that, and I have a rough draft of that. We're reviewing that right now before we forward it to the city staff to review also. So just forming the ordinance is not where it ends. I mean, we have to. And one thing I'm doing is, and thank God that City of San Luis and Paso Robles have gone through it, and I hate to use them as an analogy, but City of San Luis is collecting, but they're having a struggle forming it. Huh. And then you have a city of Paso Robles that haven't even started collecting. They have it all ready to go. They have their ad agency, they have their bylaws written and everything. So that's the example that we'd like to follow, is the way the Paso Robles put theirs together.
I have a question. So it can go before the County Board of Supervisors prior to having your bylaws?
Yes.
Okay.
And what about the VCB? Are they going to be?
Well, our goal is, again, and I'm also the president of the Visitor and Conference Bureau, and we're having some heated board conversations within our board in the last couple of months, is to redefine and how we're going to run the Visitor and Conference Bureau. Personally, I think the Visitor and Conference Bureau is the only mechanism for a countywide message. Mm-hmm. It has the best website. Mm-hmm. Some of the things you guys talked about in here, you talked about packages. You talked about we'd like to know on a week-to-week basis how occupancies, how hotels are doing and so forth. Those are all available in the countywide website. So I was making a remark that might be a quick link that you might want to do for packages just for Morro Bay, because a lot of Morro Bay hotels are listed in the countywide website. Has packages in them. On a weekly basis, this County of San Luis Obispo Visitor and Conference Bureau puts out a report and says who has rooms and who doesn't have rooms on a week-to-week basis. So those are kind of things that I just want to tell you that. So the asset of having the Visitor and Conference Bureau giving a countywide message is, I believe, is a very important thing.
I have another question. Would you like a recommendation from us? Are we packaging together the two BIDs? Would we do two separate recommendations where we approve the Morro Bay BID and say we don't approve the county? Or is it packaged together?
Well, the countywide business improvement district mm-hmm. is already has been approved by the City Council already.
Okay, so we don't need to deal with that. We're just dealing with the
At this time, you don't need to deal with that.
Right.
But I think
as individuals, one were to go into San Luis to the meeting of the Board of Supervisors to support that particular initiative.
Correct. Going to $900,000. Okay. You remember, 3 years ago, Paso Robles used to collect less money than we did in transient occupancy tax. 3 years ago. More of a guess
than anything. So this is actually a question I have. It's a trending question. Who up there on that chart of cylinders has the oldest BID? Does anyone have the oldest one that's in existence?
Monterey.
How long has Monterey been in existence?
Monterey has started again 5 years ago, fractured, meaning Salinas had their own district. Pebble Beach, that area had their own district. Pacifica had their own district. They finally came to realize that they have to brand the whole county as a whole. So within the last 3 years, they decided to put the county together as one.
In 3 years.
So out of that whole chart, I believe Sonoma County was the number one business improvement district that was formed. I'm sorry, I'll take that back. Salt Lake Tahoe. They did that with the ski resorts. They put their district first. They were probably the first ones to invent the business improvement district that applicable to tourism.
And so the question I would have is I guess it's a research question, is can you look at an old one that's already been established, that has 3 years of a track record, let's say, and say, for the money spent, do you also have the charts to show their TOT went?
Well, all I can tell you, if you look at the report that was put out, that was sponsored by the Economic Vitality Corporation, which is on their website, you can see in that report that was done approximately 3 months ago, and it's been published in September, that we as a county have lost market share to Monterey. That's the only thing I can tell you. In the last 5 years, the San Luis Obispo County lost approximately 20% of their market to Monterey, 10% of their market to Santa Barbara. Here's the more critical point for the city of Morro Bay. In that report, it also states Morro Bay lost market share to Cayucas and San Simeon, where our occupancy have been flat, where Cayucas, San Simeon, Cambria area markets have increased in occupancy. So I don't even have to answer your question. There's an independent study that was just done that says we're losing market share to these areas. Not only to the areas that are on this chart, we're actually losing them to our competitive cities within our county, for Morro Bay. You can read it. I didn't make that up.
No, so. All
right. I have a question. It may be it's actually more for information or opinion from this committee than probably what John can answer, is that with the BID in place, and maybe the value we get from that will more than offset this, but if we as a committee or the chamber were to go to the city in the next year or so and say, we need additional funding for our projects, are they going to be less apt to give us an increase for our projects because the BID is in place and they think that we're getting value from them, so the city doesn't feel that they need to increase our funding for our projects?
I think one thing that needs to be pointed out to the city is the hoteliers are going to be, with their BID, that's going to be for kind of hoteliers. We as a promotions committee are for the entire city, restaurants, yeah.
Merchants,
you know, RVers, vacation rentals that aren't included in the BID.
Right.
So I think that the city has to be very clear to understand that there's a difference between advertising the city of Morro.
They may even give
the promotions committee more money because their TOT is raised.
Okay. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
I've got a whole list of them, but I didn't know if we were opening up to questions yet.
Yeah,
so.
Well, are you ready?
Well, might as well.
Okay, go ahead. The three of us are ready.
Yeah. I know a lot of the answers, so it looks long, but a lot of them have been answered. For the advisory board, we've talked about, you guys put in there was going to be four from the hotel standpoint. Okay, yeah, four from the hotel and then two from promotions and then the chamber. How are those four members elected? Is it just by the stakeholders? Does the city council have any say?
It's going to be appointed by the Hotel Motel Restaurant Association, those four individuals, to the city council. The city council still has to approve those four individuals.
So what about the hotels that are not participant in the Morro Bay Restaurant and Motel Association?
It's open to everybody.
It's open to everybody. Right. Okay. And then will you guys be having different segments and different markets covered in that four member? You know, you've got kind of your low end.
Our bylaws does not indicate, I mean, the current draft of four stakeholders.
Okay. That was one of the questions.
There are term limits.
Three years, I would assume?
There are two consecutive three-year term limits unless they're appointed in the middle of somebody's
term.
For example, you leave because of pregnancy or something like that.
Somebody
fills your seat, it would have to be a year or less for them to run two consecutive after.
Because they would take over your term.
That's correct.
Since the Motel Restaurant Association is involved, could there be a possibility of a restaurant owner being on the board?
As long as it's one of those other, it has to be one of those other two appointees, because mainly it's the stakeholders are the advisory board.
That's correct. So the people that are contributing.
And we're kind of taking it a little step further to include the director of the Chamber of Commerce, because that individual should be representing business as a whole, including shops, restaurants. And the other two individuals that the city council appoints via the promotions committee, if they're two shop owners or a restaurant owner within that committee, they can do that.
A citizen at large, even.
Will there be one person per property?
The stakeholders are. That's correct.
Because we have groups of hotels that are owned by the same people. Will they have?
I read the language on that to answer your question. The language is, I can't quote it exactly, but it's basically if you own six hotels, either you can sit on the board or you can have one person who's in one of your management positions sit on the board, but you can't have all four of those positions cannot be filled, one by you as the owner and then by three of your managers. So you can have one representative from your group of motels or your company of motels or hotels that you own. Does that make sense to you? Does that answer your question? Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't answer your question.
It looks to me like it should be each property should have the same opportunity to serve on the board as a group that owns four hotels.
But you wouldn't want to be known
about the little owners, the people with the 10 beds, five beds, you know,
then
they're
going
to have the same opportunity.
By holding to that language, actually, it gives them greater opportunity. Let's say, John and I have one and a half, what do you want to call it, motels here. It would be unfair to Michelle or to the Pacific Cottage or to the Holland Inn, if John sat on the advisory board, I sat on the advisory board, and my manager sat on the advisory board. That would not allow any representation even for the Inn at Morro Bay, the Ascot, La Serena. So therefore, it's limited to one person from one organizational group.
I have another question on the stakeholders part. When it's weighed out for vote, like if it were to go to the 51% or whatever, is that weighed by dollar revenue brought in or number of rooms?
Dollars.
So dollar revenues brought in. Okay.
I'm gonna correct myself because I just got the bylaws the other day. It does break it out in the bylaws that there's one bed and breakfast classification under 10 rooms. There's two individuals under 50 rooms and one individual over 50 rooms.
Okay.
So it is broken out.
So it does.
I'm sorry. I took you guys the wrong path. And
so bed and breakfasts are being collected?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought they were out of it.
Is that the county? I thought the city.
No, I'm talking the city now. We're only talking city.
Right now.
We're only talking city right now.
City
and Bob. Yeah, we're only talking city. Yeah.
Right.
A question, too. Since everybody's looking at me and I'm reading my notes, since John works with the promotions committee, would he work with the Morro Bay BID? And why is he maybe, or the agency, say it's not John, the agency not possibly on that committee?
We already We had a lot of conversation about this, and yes, John, for at least the first year, would be working with us. We're not looking to reinvent the wheel and start anything over. Like any organization, you know, everything has to be reviewed and looked at, and your budget, and you have to have all your considerations, and everything has to, all your ducks need to line up, and everything needs to fall into place. But we've already talked to John, and, you know, we're not looking to, you know, spin off in some crazy direction. We're looking to kind of expand or put on steroids what we've already got.
So there's not a way to put that in the bylaw, though, to have your ad agency as part of that committee? That was my question.
It could be part of that committee, but it can't be a voting. But
right, just an advisor.
Right. So that's what I'm wondering. Because is the chamber a voting member?
Chamber will be a voting member.
Oh, they would actually be a voting member. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So
actually,
that's different.
I think that the way that that would be done is probably the most appropriate, because I'm actually not a member of this committee.
Okay. Right, and neither is Peter.
I can't vote. It would be unrealistic for me to vote, because I would be voting on things that I could benefit financially from. So I think that would be the similar situation. I mean, I'm basically going to be a consultant or a vendor.
So you would just come in to the meeting?
I wouldn't be part of that.
But Peter yet
body.
Would have a vote on that. VID.
Peter would have a vote, as would the two community promotions members.
Okay.
And I think Peter's vote's really important because of what Bill talked about, which I think is a good point, and you have it in your bylaws anyway, that I don't think anybody wants to not represent everybody, because you're not going to have it as effective marketing base if you don't have small hotel.
The worst thing we could do is create, you know, John's really spoken to the note that it is so important for everyone to come together, and really your message is much stronger if it is branded and, you know, it is a very orchestrated message. And I just think that that would be, you know, I know you guys are putting the bylaws together. I just feel like that would be really huge. And obviously on our agenda today, I'm not sure if you guys have reviewed it. We are talking about Tom Jones' advertising contract. And so I just think that that would be something to really consider.
Well, I think John is right. It's not about reinventing the wheel. It's about inflating the tire.
Right.
It's the same wheel. So we're running out of metaphors here, folks. Sorry.
What does the city charge you for handling the money?
2% of collections. It's currently written into ordinance at 2% of collections.
2% of
what? Of the $500,000.
Who actually writes the language of the BID?
You mean the ordinance?
Yeah.
It's a
state ordinance.
The ordinance is submitted to Rob Schultz, and Rob actually makes it right.
Okay.
And makes it bylaws. Legal.
And then the bylaws, everybody kind of puts
together. The bylaws are put together by the advisory board.
By the advisory board. Okay.
Question on the bylaws. They've, I guess, in draft form. Does it state that your intention is to keep the website, that you will...
Well, now you're getting into a market. Now you're getting into a marketing plan, Peter, and you have to understand one thing. I learned this now through doing the county one, doing this, looking at how some of the cities are putting theirs together. You want the ordinance to be read as loosely as possible, so you don't go back
to
the city council.
To it, right.
Okay. Same thing is for the county one. You don't want to go to the county supervisors all the time. You want to make sure you do your bylaws that controls you, but you don't want to make it where, you know, changing bylaws is another issue too. So now you're getting into marketing of the how we're going to process through the marketing. And as a matter of fact, John is in the process. We're going to meet because we kind of want to make even a bigger presentation to the to the city council, really going over and identifying marketing plans on what we want to do in a little bit more detail. So we're trying not to do that. You know, those percentages that we threw up there, it wasn't concrete. That's first blush, that's what
we
see.
Say potential.
I think, though, that to answer your question, Peter, and this has been discussed, because the first thing as you looked at San Luis, and I think John made a good point that Paso and how they're organizing it, they're doing it the right way, and no disrespect to San Luis, but I think they kind of rushed into it. And, you know, they're right now just writing an RFP to have an ad agency, because they're looking outside of the current agency that handles the city for whatever reason. But there's also issues with their website, you know, things that they didn't address that I think that it would be, and I think that from the discussions I've had, those would be discussed and addressed, because I don't think anybody, again, we're not going to, you know, we just had 26,000 people who know to come to this website. I think that probably just, and again, this is all going to be formulated later, but that website, in fact, it was in the PowerPoint, that website's not going to go away. I really think that the best analogy of this is it's, and like David said, we've gone through quite a few metaphors, but, you know, right now we're whispering. I mean, we could be yelling with additional money, and whether that what we're currently whispering is not going to change this necessarily as much. It's just new opportunities. And that's really the way I looked at it.
You know, I want to just make a comment, too. I got the Pastor Robles bylaws for their advisory committee and the thing, and I think to follow Paso's footsteps is very smart for the city. I've heard a lot of grumbling about San Luis, so I don't know. I know that talking to some of the city people as well, they really like to see what Paso's done. And reading through it, there's a lot of transparency, there's a lot of overlapping, and there's a lot of working together. And I think that's what the city should be looking towards, too, and hopefully this BID. Because I think everybody wants the common goal. And when you read through this, it talks about, I mean, it's almost like reading some of the stuff from the promotions committee. I mean, and they really work in tandem, which I think is really important to not reinvent that wheel.
Just know one thing. We're not here on a special agenda here. We just did the bylaws 2 days ago. I mean, Johnny just drafted them 2 days ago, modeling Paso Robles. Let us chew through it. We're going to probably get it to Rob, let Rob look at it, and have you guys, I'd be more than happy to share that with you guys, including all the hoteliers that are here, and have you guys look at it and give us your 2 cents or 10 cents or dollar opinion if you want to. I mean, that's we're not here to do anything that's over and beyond what we're trying to do here. We want all the input. We want to do this right. You know, and that's why we're looking at all the other models, and that's why we don't want to follow what the city of San Luis is doing. Because they started collecting, two hotels started collecting, and the rest of them didn't collect when they first ordinance went into effect. So it's, you know, we got to make sure we do this right.
It does sound like you're in that direction. I suppose then the question, you know, before us is, well, among the things they've asked is to encourage the city council to consider this at their January 26th meeting.
Well, if I'm not out of order, I would like to say I appreciate the work that you three have done, and I have a lot of faith and confidence that you will put together the right thing. And I would like to move that our committee does support the formation of a BID.
I have a couple things to make before, and I totally agree.
Well,
I am very, very
supportive. Do we want to then, if anyone seconds it, we can have discussion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, now.
We can
discussion.
Have discussion. Okay, I always go out of order of what we're supposed to do.
That's all right. Wait a minute.
I am totally in support of this city BID, and these guys have worked very, 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 very hard. On the other hand, I'm against the county BID, and I know that county BID is not on this discussion.
Do we have much say beyond?
This is the thing I just want to put on the record. The San Luis Obispo and Paso Robles are at 2% Morro Bay City BID. They are not participating in the county BID. So I just want to bring to everybody's attention, this puts a 4% increase on city BID by doing a 3% with the city and the 1% with the county. And other cities are doing 2%. So we're doubling them. And I know they're going to come out and say, well, our ADR is much lower, so we have a little bit more movement in there. And I agree with them to some extent, but there are some hoteliers that the ADR is not lower. So for some of
ADR?
Us hoteliers...
Average.
Information, and we're, obviously interested by the citywide BID. I think one of the things that you're going to be hearing at the council level is that depending on whatever increase the Morro Bay BID proposes, if it were a 3% with the additional 1% for the county, it really ties in the city's some staff, including myself, feel it really ties the city's hands in terms of ever-increasing a TOT. And I think that's one area that will be addressed and will be discussed at the council level, because if we're increasing 4% here, it doesn't mechanically tie our hands. Certainly, we could always ask the residents to increase our TOT, but then let's say we went for a TOT of 2%, then we're additional 6%. So I think what I would propose to the board, of course, it's up to you, but what I would propose is, and actually the motion was – exactly what I would suggest, supporting the concept of a BID, but I would propose that you perhaps stay away from a certain percentage until there's further information and a full discussion. I was actually thinking about considering bringing this item back for, you know, additional information at your January meeting, but that's kind of a late time. So certainly you could move forward with a proposal to support the concept. But I think it's important from the city standpoint that we look, you know, we're looking at the whole picture, and certainly a TOT would provide general fund money that can be used for other services other than promotion, certainly, and we talked about that, police, fire, streets, that sort of thing. So we've got to look at the whole picture.
One thing, too, that I know us hoteliers are hoping we don't have to go to a TOT increase, and that we hope that this 3% would put more money into that TOT. But unfortunately, I've heard grumbles already at the city council level about a TOT increase in 2010. And hopefully we can prove to the city that we're bringing in more money by doing this 3% city BID.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Michelle. We believe that it can be absorbed into the ADR at the current levels that Morbay is at. Our average daily rate for hotel stays is somewhat quite a bit behind Paso and our neighboring cities of Cayucas, San Simeon, and, of course, Pismo Beach. And we believe that the North County beach areas offer a much better experience than the South County beach areas. And we really want to promote that experience. And that's why we feel that it's necessary to have the 3% and then fall into the county umbrella, which really pushes, fans out our ability, buying into over $1 million of marketing. We don't believe that it hinders the city later. You know, the city can pretty much go for a TOT increase if they want to at any time. The thing with a TOT increase is it falls back into the general fund, and we, again, are the only set of businesses that have ever stepped forward and said, we want to assess ourselves for the betterment of our own businesses and for the betterment of this city and its citizens. And we feel very strongly about doing that, and we've proposed this level of assessment, not with just a moment's breath, but with a lot of thought and a lot of consideration and a lot of effort. And that's why we feel very strongly about the percentage that we're putting forward.
Not to say that we make the same mistakes that Slow did, because they move quickly, but if you don't hit that collections period in the summer, I mean, we can all just look at our TOT packet here and see what kind of dollars are collected in July and August. I mean, that could be a significant jump start to get the thing going. If you miss that summer collections, that's going to really be, it's going to set you back quite a bit. I do think, though, that, and I don't have any opinion on the county BID, I don't want to go there, but, you know, you as an advisory board, you can certainly make recommendations as far as the support of a county BID as well as a city BID. And you either do that in this meeting, or you go when the council considers it at a meeting and you give them your feelings, whether it's positive or negative. Because I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. City Manager, but in that meeting that we had, the council is looking for some direction from you. I think actually they've kind of put that as a mandate to say we want to hear from the promotions committee before we consider it.
Right,
so,
and I think that stemmed,
I think
out
it's important to give them something, because I think that's what really what they're going to want, that before they can go ahead and do anything.
Absolutely, and that's why I would say that, you know, not to again have the metaphor, but it's in answer to that last set of comments with the question of, when you look at the revenue provided over time, and here's the golden goose, and if the golden goose is tourism and it lays golden eggs, if the farmer is having trouble, do you start hawking the golden eggs sooner, or do you say, I'm going to bite the bullet, I'm going to feed the goose more in the hope that it lays more golden eggs in the next season? And I think that's kind of what it is. You could start taking more of the eggs now in an emergency situation and using them, or you could say, I'm going to invest in fattening the goose, and next year it may lay twice as many. And I guess that's kind of, if that's a metaphorical way of looking at it.
You do have a motion on the floor.
I do.
Just to remind you.
Yes, and I think that the motion goes to John's question, because what it really says is what they're asking for is, it says recommend support of a business investment district. It doesn't say exactly the language or anything like that. It says support the motion a business investment district. So could Could we put two things in one and say that the motion supports, as Susan said, the promotions committee recommends support of a MBBID to the council and encourages consideration at the January 26th meeting as they are asking. Can we put those in one sentence?
Well, I think, yeah, we could do that. As long as it's clear that this is the Morro Bay Business Improvement District.
Yeah, it says what it says.
Alone and not the county.
No, it says right here, it's MBBID. Mm-hmm. So yep. The motion would be the promotions committee recommends support of a business Morro Bay Business Investment District and encourages the Business Investment District considered by the council at their 26th mm-hmm. meeting. Yeah, so that's the revised.
You have to ask the motion maker if they agree to amend that, and then if the second agrees to amend their second.
I agree to amend it.
I agree.
And she seconds. All right. Any further discussion? Then all in favor of the motion to support a business investment district to the city council?
Business improvement district.
I told you about the bifocal thing earlier. And encourage support of and encourage consideration of it on the January 26th city council meeting. Aye.
Andrea, when we make a recommendation like that, how does that actually get to the city council?
Oh, we don't send them to city council. We make a effort generally in staff reports to include it.
All right, a full agenda, but we've come finally to the last idea here, which is the review of the marketing contract for Tom Jones Advertising.
Just a little conversation.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take us too long.
No, I think this is a foregone, right, yeah. Now, I have a question about this because, you know, in the time I've been here, of course, Tom Jones has always, during my 4 years, Tom Jones has always been the advertising agency. So maybe some of you who have more institutional memory than I do.
I was a part of the committee when we put our last RFP out, and we went through several presentations. I was actually very surprised at the number of agencies who put an RFP out, which was not many, if you recall, John. I didn't think. I mean, there were, I think, four agencies in total. Barnett Cox, Fish Lips, of course, TJA, and then another that I don't recall the name of that was a fairly obscure agency, as I will recall. It was certainly interesting to look at all the presentations. I think that, in my mind, it reinforced more than anything the value we get from TJA because Barnett Cox wanted to charge us $30,000 just for the pleasure of using their advertising agency. And I remember thinking that seemed like a very large sum of money to plop down. So I don't know. I just kind of wanted the group to hear, you know, the experience that we have had. And I do think that John has a lot of institutional memory, you know, that he brings to this committee because he has been with us for so long. And as, you know, as that we are an advisory board and we're constantly changing members, it is nice to have someone who has that knowledge.
Hence our turning to you for that summary and update because you're the institutional members that we have.
Which is very frightening.
Well, I guess had Ed Krovitz been here today, he would have gone back that far as well. Andrea, what is the policy? Since, again, I've never had to – how does
– Basically, what we're coming before you today is to get your recommendation. Staff's opinion is to extend this contract for 3 years. We did go out a number of years ago. However, since that time, we've contracted with TJA, or Tom Jones Advertising. Back in 2002, we included in the contract the ability for an extension for 3 years as approved by the commission, the Community Promotions Committee. But basically, the money is funded, and staff has the ability to choose the individual that they want to go for. Of course, we want your input on that. Again, we firmly would recommend continuing on. The one item that I did add, and you might wonder, well, how in the world could we contract for something when we don't have an approved budget for future years? And we do include language in the contract that the contract can be terminated by either party with 30-day notice. But we feel, and it sounds like the Community Promotions Committee feels, that we've gotten incredibly good value, great ideas, and
so there's no law that requires us to
accept
bids or look for other.
Excuse
people.
Me, I didn't hear what
there's
you said.
There's no law that requires us to go out and have to bid or
no.
put out. Okay, I didn't know if that was.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it, just from another standpoint, from the chamber, it's very difficult to build relationships and to make things flow easily.
I would say, yeah, people
I wonder
watching.
If we ought to be on our knees begging him to stay. Please,
I would say even
don't
people
go
watching.
I didn't want to go there, but yeah.
Even people watching at home.
Boy,
today.
Thoroughbred. I've never been called a thoroughbred. Boy, that is like, that's going to make my day all day.
What's the actual dates of the contract?
Expires in June.
June 09.
June.
No, I would think even just looking at the meeting today, I mean, whether it was the button, which was, you know, and they crank it out, or that Morro Bay Grown thing that just came out, I mean, there is a lot of creativity coming into this that's exciting.
From my experience working in advertising, I really think, and I know I've said this just a minute ago, but I just really do think that the committee should know that I think TGA provides us a tremendous value for what we actually give them. And when you're looking at someone who, when I first got on the board, our budget was like, I think, $230,000. And so you've taken that number from $230,000, which to $130,000. And, I mean, in terms of how John makes the bulk of his money is through, you know, commissions that he places. And so, I mean, basically by every time we cut our budget, we're cutting his salary and the money that goes to his agency. And so he, in my opinion, really has continued to provide us the same level of service and really almost every year has gotten a pay cut. So, I mean, I think that he's done a tremendous job.
Well, then I guess they're looking for input. I would make a motion that the promotions committee recommends a renewal of the current contract with Tom Jones Advertising.
Second.
They're jumping. All right. Having had a motion and a second, any further discussion? Okay. Then the motion we will vote is to recommend that the promotions committee recommends that we renew our contract with Tom Jones Advertising. All in favor? Aye. And so it is done.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you. I will say that, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the Morro Bay account has always been special to me because it was one of the very first accounts that I got. And I can't even remember the date now. It's been so long ago, but it has to be like around 93, 94, I think. And our budget at that time was $25,000. And basically the RFP called for just the placement of the ads. And at the time, I felt like that it would be better for me to be at the meetings, so I elected to come to the meetings and be there as a representative, because in the old days, they basically, you just hired an ad agency and they placed the ads and that was that. And I think that until Ed's passing, Ed and I were it goes back to when Ed Biagini was on the board. And it's because of people like Ed and people like yourselves that I want to continue to do this. It is a good piece of business for my agency, but we have years where we've kind of gone down on the revenue side of it, but it's a special thing for me. And I really, you know, believe in this city, and I think we have a great opportunity. I know we've been through some challenging times, but I think that I've always looked at it as half full instead of half empty. And I appreciate your confidence. And I know each year I have to kind of continue to approach this as a brand new account. And I've always tried to do that. I don't want to keep doing the same old things. And when I start doing that, then I'll just retire.
Discussion of any new ideas? Well, there were tons of new ones today just thrown in there. But anyone have anything specific? Declaration of future agenda items. I didn't come across or think we agendized anything, except you were going to find out about the status of the trademark, but that was, I don't know if that's an agenda item.
We will be bringing back to your next meeting the discussion on the board bylaws. All the boards and commissions in the city are discussing their bylaws, okay. the representation and such. So that'll be just a standard discussion that we'll bring back.
And if there's any text that we have to read in advance, you'll email that to us or something?
As we always do,
okay.
David.
And could we go ahead and agendize or just continue the BID discussion? Because I would really like to have a place to talk about that next month.
What about the county BID, too? Can that be put on there as well?
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be just – there's the January 6th meeting – you might know more by then as well, but I understand the county supervisors are looking at this January 6th, so that'll be prior to our meeting, so it might already be resolved, but I'd rather put it on there in case it's not.
We'll put just a discussion of both BIDs as one item.
Okay.
And then if that's the agenda items, well, season's greetings. Happy holidays to all. Please come to the New Year's Eve party. That will be Morro Bay's guaranteed fun for the night. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone in 2009. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
We're in December.